I've sent the following wire to President Truman. My heartiest congratulations to you on your election.
I'm aware of my blackness, but I don't go around and look and see whether I'm different than someone else.
Fail a lot quickly, and then eventually you'll succeed.
I worry that the person who thought up Muzak may be thinking up something else.
It's Wednesday, time to check in with our partners at the Michigan History Center. Wayne Lusardi is a state maritime archaeologist for the Michigan History Center. He was part of a team of divers who examined a part of history found 30 feet underwater in Lake Huron, not too far from Port Huron. So what were you all looking at?
We were looking at a P-39 airplane that was lost during a training accident in World War II. And what's pretty special about the site is it was actually flown by a Tuskegee Airman. Unfortunately, he was killed in the accident.
So how was it discovered?
It was discovered sort of accidentally. There was a pretty bad storm on Lake Huron, and a barge and a tug sank in that vicinity. And in the process of cleaning up that shipwreck just a few years ago, divers came across the wreckage of the aircraft.
I understand that it was discovered 70 years to the day after the crash. As you mentioned, the pilot was killed, but his body was recovered. So who was this pilot?
It was Frank Moody. Frank Herman Moody was born in Oklahoma in the 1920s. He enlisted in the United States Army Air Corps during the early years of World War II, and he underwent his initial flight training down in Tuskegee, Alabama. He was up in Michigan at Selfridge Field and at Oscoda Army Airfield in Oscoda to do advanced training with the P-39, and he was lost on April 11th, 1944, and in exactly 70 years to the day afterwards, the airplane was found.
So remind us, for those of us who aren't up on our World War II history, why are the Tuskegee Airmen so famous?
The Tuskegee Airmen are probably best known because they are the first African-American airmen to fly in combat for the United States military. Prior to that, there were African-American pilots, of course, but none were commissioned officers in the military. So this was sort of an experiment that was utilized during the war. It was expected to fail, but in fact, it not only succeeded, but they had an incredible military record, mostly in North Africa and the Sicily and Italy campaigns.
Right. The Tuskegee Airmen pilots who flew fighter planes quickly gained a reputation for escorting bombers. They were known for a particular way the planes were painted. Could you describe that for us?
The Tuskegee Airmen are generally known as Red Tails, and most military squadrons and aircraft were painted with, squadron colors. The Tuskegee Airmen adopted a red tail, and that became their generic nickname throughout the war.
Now, the plane you were examining was a P-39, but the Red Tails were known for flying the P-51. What's different about the two aircraft?
The P-39 was sort of an early experimental aircraft built initially just right before World War II. It was the first fighter or pursuit aircraft in the United States Army Air Corps that had a tricycle landing gear. It had a nose wheel instead of a tail dragger. It had a cannon that actually fired through the propeller hub. It was heavily armed both in the fuselage and in the wings. Unfortunately, it didn't do well at altitude and it didn't do well at high speeds. And so eventually they were sort of phased out and replaced by other aircraft, including the P-51 Mustang.
What does this wreck look like? When you're down there, what do you see?
The airplane was in formation about 100 feet over the lake when it crashed at a pretty high rate of speed, and consequently, the impact with the water and the lake bottom was pretty catastrophic to the aircraft. All of the fuselage is busted up and distributed over a large area of the lake bottom. The wings are relatively intact from tip to tip, but the engine is several hundred feet away. The machine guns that were on board are scattered about, and the tail is another couple hundred feet away. So it's really a big collection of broken wreckage.
So as an archaeologist, what's involved in documenting a find like this?
The first thing we want to know is exactly what's there, what's on site, and how it's distributed on site. So everything is mapped. We put a baseline down on the lake bottom, and then we measured everything from that baseline, knowing the exact GPS coordinates of that line. We can then create a site map of the entire distribution, even though it's pretty far spread out on the lake bottom.
What will be done with that plane? Anything?
There's some discussion about recovering parts or all of the aircraft and conserving and then exhibiting it, perhaps in Detroit. It's early discussions right now. We still have to complete the archaeological documentation. And then if And when the airplane is recovered, it will have to undergo a methodology, a conservation methodology, so that it remains free of corrosion.
Can divers visit the site now?
Right now, there are no restricted sites in Michigan. It is not generally well known. It is pretty sensitive, and we asked if you do visit it to not touch anything or move anything about.
So there's really nothing done to protect it. Everybody's on their honor system.
That's correct. Most of all of the shipwrecks around Michigan, there are some 1,500, for example. There are other aircraft on the lake bottoms. And again, none of those have restricted access. But again, there are laws to protect their disturbance.
I want to ask you what you were thinking when you first saw this wreckage.
You know, it was pretty incredible, really. It was a place where a moment in history occurred. And it was unfortunately a place where a man died. And though I've been working on shipwrecks for many, many years, I've never really felt the connection with the site and the person that was last a part of that site. So it was pretty emotional. I work with a fantastic crew, many of them African American, some of which had direct personal contacts with people that knew the pilot. And so it was very emotional and very rewarding to be a part of that group to conduct the investigation of the site. There are more wrecks flown by Tuskegee Airmen that are still out in the lake, and we hope to find them in the coming field season.
How many?
Perhaps as many as four that we know of, and maybe more that we don't have records of. There were a lot of crashes, unfortunately. There were a lot of crashes of military aircraft during World War II. Something close to 18,000 Army air crews were killed on United States soil, training to be pilots for World War II. The numbers are staggering.
Wow.
And unfortunately, a couple of dozen Tuskegee Airmen were killed in Michigan, and several of their planes were lost. Maybe four or five were lost in the lakes.
Wayne Lusardi is a state maritime archaeologist for the Michigan History Center. We've been talking about the discovery of a P-39 aircraft flown by a Tuskegee Airman, which crashed into Lake Huron in 1944. Thanks for telling us about this.
Thank you.